Today's show has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And today it's going to be more seizures than art, I have a feeling. Nice try on the drop there. Judy McGuire is 86. and it's a sad tale.
But Peter Zaremba of the Flesh Tones.
Peter Zaremba of the Flesh Tones, right. If he doesn't mind saying so himself.
I don't mind saying it. And I said it, and I'll say it again. In the Durwood Kirby guest host
The co-host with the most.
That's right.
Peter Zaremba back, and as we say.
And with a toast.
And here at Roberta's, our favorite pizza is Pizza Rumba.
The Pizza Rumba is my favorite. Way back.
But it is a cavalcade of stars here today.
An embarrassment of talent.
It's incredible here.
An embarrassing talent.
Some of our bestest and oldest pals. We're here with Rosie Schapp, who is the author of Drinking with Men and is the queen of cocktails for the New York Times and has just been named one of the most important people in the world by somebody who is really, really important. No, you are one of the 75 to help me imbibe?
Something like that. First of all, Mike, it's great to be back. Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year.
Are you kidding? It's been too long.
I miss Judy, but I'm not going to dwell on it. So Imbibe Magazine, which is a wonderful magazine about spirits and cocktails and all kinds of drinking.
Imbibe, you subscribe. You subscribe to Imbibe, Pete?
I imbibe.
When he subscribes, he imbibes. So they do a fun annual thing where they name 75 people and places and flavors that will shape your drinking experiences.
So you're going to shape my drinking experience.
I'm going to try my best.
Well, I'll tell you what. Pete's going to invent a new cocktail live on the radio today.
I've been threatening to do it.
But before we go too far, I also want to introduce our other guest, our old friend Andy Chernoff, famous for the Dictators Rock and Roll
Band
and many, many other things. Former Flesh Tone.
He's in
songwriter for the Ramones and frequent guest on the Mike and Judy and Arts is Your Show. Andy Chernoff, glad to have you back, buddy.
Thank you. I like to consider myself a Renaissance man.
Okay. You consider away. So, Pete, what's this cocktail you're going to mix for us today? I'm excited. There's ice.
Okay.
There are shakers.
We got some ice here. As you can hear, it's going in the...
For those of you out in Radio Land, this table is like an apothecary of ingredients right now.
Actually, it's quite simple, and I've been dying to do this for years. And so since Rosie is in here today,
you have like a pretty good audience right now. This is going to be the litmus test of a lifetime.
Are there drinkers out there?
Yeah.
Okay. What I brought here is some miniatures of some Polish vodka.
Ah.
Okay. I won't mention the brand.
This is like drinking in a Polish airport. This is wonderful.
Oh, whatever. Okay. I'll mention the brand. Okay. This happens to be Chopin. Why not?
A case of Chopin vodka will be at your house next week.
I hope so.
Yeah. We need a sponsor. So if the people at Chopin vodka are listening, you know, in Radio Gdansk.
Who distributes this stuff? Huh? Well, since they invented vodka there.
Is that true, Rosie? Was vodka a Polish invention?
I could not answer that with great authority.
Well,
I don't want to start any more fights among Slavs than there already are.
The Russians never claimed to invent it. So,
well,
they drink it.
They sure do.
I've been to Russia 4 times, so.
So here's a Polish joke I know, okay? But it's just a joke that Polish people tell. Again, it's about Americans, so it's not like the ones we told in the grade school, you know, when we were growing up, Polish jokes, when it was still okay to do that kind of routine.
Two Americans
go to a restaurant in Poland, right? And they order a bottle of vodka, and they take the top off the bottle, and they pour 2 glasses of vodka, and then you know what they did? They put the top back on the bottle.
That is a good joke.
Okay. Stupid Americans.
Here comes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love this.
Oh.
It's as if we never fought the war.
Okay.
Tell people what we're experiencing here.
Is
I mean,
that cream soda?
No.
I
can't. This is very.
You are not a Jew.
It's my
not a Jew.
This is very New York.
My grandfather's favorite beverage.
Actually,
Dr. Brown Sulray, for those of you in Radio Land. In the, what, if you were a Jew, sure enough, like a real Jew, okay, seriously, Andy, you're an embarrassment.
I think I understand what you're doing. You're saving money on the celery.
I'm saving money on the celery.
No, look at
that. That familiar green, I wish I had a car, a guitar, and a suit that color green.
Now, this was a combination that I've been dying to do. Now, the fact is, my grandfather was the first one that I ever saw drink this stuff.
Yeah.
And in those days, it was called
Holy shit,
Dr. Brown's Celery Tonic.
Ah.
And it was a little less sweet, if I can remember. Now, here, let's all try this.
It is a tonic. So, Polish vodka, Chopin.
Thank you.
Okay. And Dr. Brown's Celery.
Here you go.
Pass it around. Here you go. And, but wait, garnish with celery, so it's double celery.
Now, we can correct this. We're going to taste it, and if it needs correction, we have a way to
work in progress. Well, Nostrovia.
To our grandfathers, I would say.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it's like as if there were no camps in Poland, so we are enjoying this. Mmm.
I think it's a natural.
You know, the vodka is just transparent. I mean, it's
no, I taste a little of the, a little bite there.
I taste the vodka.
And that's why it's a little unloved among many people who make drinks.
Which is what, vodka?
Vodka. Mm-hmm. I read an article recently about how some haute cocktail bars are only now starting to introduce cocktails with vodka. Because some drink makers considered it too neutral, too boring. Listen, whatever makes you happy, drink it.
Whatever
that's how
gets
I
you
feel.
Through the night. Whatever blows your skirt up, right, Pete?
I think so. And you can stir this with the celery stick.
Celery is such an important ingredient in cocktails. I mean, I can't stand a Bloody Mary that doesn't have celery. I see the Roberta's one. They're using.
I like it with romaine. Roberta's. I think it's great. Yeah.
To me, the celery is like I want the.
The crunch.
I want the crunch. But
you
also,
want a crunchy
celery
cocktail.
Is such an underrated flavor. I mean, it's so strong. It's it's this friendly little sprig, but it's really can be very powerful.
It's very strong, and I will say I love. Raw celery. I can't stand cooked celery. I just have a thing.
What do you mean, like in, but it's, what do you have
like in a stew or a soup? I never make soup.
Well,
with.
Particularly in a drink, it's not good.
Cooked celery in a drink, I don't want it.
Now he gets right to the point.
So what do you think, Eddie? Is he going for this the Dr. Brown vodka experience?
I don't even think it needs to be corrected with vodka.
I think it's really good. I'm happy with it.
Are you kidding? This is like a good breakfast drink.
Yeah.
I think the complaint about vodka is... The drink, when people make drinks out of it, it's really the flavorings that you're tasting.
Right.
And this, it's a little more subtle, but I'm getting, the celery is so subtle, I'm getting the vodka in this drink. It's not like orange juice or tomato juice.
Right, it's not meant to cover it up. It's meant to enhance.
Well, vodka, and tell me if I got this right, Rosie. I mean, wasn't really drank much in the United States before the mid-60s.
That's right.
Right? And the reason I believe it became popular because it had no taste and allegedly no odor, so actually you can get like stewed and go to work and not smell like a distillery. But no, seriously, that's why it became popular. It's vodka, you know, and I think among connoisseurs and snobs such as we are, vodka...
We are not. We are not.
Oh, fuck yes, we are. I'm proud of it. Listen, there are snobs and then there are snobs. You know
True.
Me, I'm a man of the people, but I don't I don't drink Speed Rack vodka. No fucking way will I drink well vodka. Because you know what? I'm old enough to know that it sucks and it will give me a hangover. And I'll tell you what, if I'm on a date and I go out and someone says orders a vodka martini and doesn't call a brand, okay, that's strike one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's strike one. Okay, because you don't get to be...
I hope the ladies are listening.
You don't get to be 30 or 40 years old and not learn that lesson, okay? That's fucked up. Mm-hmm. It's like, give me scotch and not call a brand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you even have any clue what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
But vodka came about, I think James Bond helped popularize it.
And as I understand it, Smirnoff launched a really spectacular campaign to get people to drink vodka, and things like the Bloody Mary came into existence, mm-hmm. and the Moscow Mule.
Well, the Moscow Mule is totally a fabricated thing. There's no real provenance there, is there?
Yeah, there's actually no mule in the...
And I don't think there's any Moscow in it either.
Well, that depends where you drink it.
Well, Moscow Mule is ginger, right?
Ginger beer, vodka.
And this copper
in
cup.
That copper mug.
Is anyone in Moscow ever actually... Is there ginger beer in Moscow? I mean, what the fuck?
I bet if you have the right connections to the party, you can get some ginger beer.
I know a guy.
Yeah, if a guy knows a guy.
I know. You're making me want a Moscow Mule.
Well, this is a so what are we calling this cocktail, Pizza?
Well, it's you got Polish vodka. You have a popular
Jewish. So you're basically pouring like Jewish stuff onto the Polish thing.
Which is
that's good.
Makes more sense than you might think.
I mean, I'm starting to think about kielbasa and pierogies right now. This might be, you know, a nice pair well with some pierogi.
I'm trying to fit Zaremba into the title of the drink somehow.
I don't think you can.
The Zaremba. Yeah, but you have the celery's got to be mentioned there, because that's what the...
Again, I keep going back to this grandfatherly thing about it and thinking of the Yiddish word Zeta, and I think Zeta Zaremba is kind of nice.
I like it. Or Bubby.
Well, grandpa's more than grandma's, I think, with the celery.
The hex breaker.
My grandma, when I was a kid...
Very good.
You know what?
We did. Okay.
You need to have a whole line of cocktails, though, named after. I want to drink a Power Stance. I want to drink the American Beat, and I want to drink the Hexbreaker. Okay. So that's your homework.
But my special secret super guest.
Holy cow!
The fabulous Jim Diamond. Walk-in guest.
Unbelievable.
A walk-in guest.
Producer to the stars. Holy cow!
Finish this. It's good. Finish that. Jim Diamond, producer.
I can't
recorder.
Believe this. Fantastic.
That's amazing. Here, have a seat.
Try a Zaremba, the Zeta.
Well, I like the Zeta. What is this?
It's a piece of celery.
Oh, the celery.
That's a Jim Diamond.
The hint of celery.
That was good. I was last night. I was there at the Hoedown with the Daddy Long Legs, the John Spencer Blues Explosion, our good friends, both who've been on this show before. Jim, glad to have you. Tell us what you think about the cocktail.
It's delightful.
It's almost done.
It's almost done. I'm getting Peter's backwash. So I think that's the best.
Wait, is that you don't have another little mini?
I don't have any more vodka.
Well, that's the most Jewish thing of all.
I know. Well, I have more Dr. Brown.
Of course, it's cheap.
Dr. Brown's celery. So
this is amazing.
That's pretty good.
I think it's delicious. I've been dying to do that for years, though, and so this was a good occasion.
You needed to come on the show to do it. Well, now this guy, Jim Diamond's here. Last night, like I say, we enjoyed the show last night. That's a microphone. I'm sure you're familiar, Jim.
Hello.
Recording a live record last night. We can plug our friends last night, right?
Were you, Daddy Long Legs. That was a great show.
They were absolutely fantastic, and they're going to be back on the show soon. It sounded great from where I was standing at the bar.
Yeah. No, the recording's going to be great. We had a great time. The crowd was awesome. They're really into it, which was added. So we'll have some applause on the live recording. I won't have to add it later.
All right. Well, your very presence here is going to make what's going to happen here even more special. And you're going to play a song for us, right? You got something new? What's going on?
Sure.
What's going on in your life, Andy?
My life?
Yeah, you've been playing, drinking, rock and rolling, right?
I was in Japan a month ago. Did some shows in Japan. I'm going to Boston next week to record a band called The Connection. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on my new EP, and I'm moving upstate, going to be a country boy.
Oh, you're one of those. I see.
I call it Brooklyn North.
Yeah.
Because I see everybody I know up there.
This
now
is the new white flight.
Yeah, it is. It really is, yeah.
You're not moving from the slope, Rosie?
Not imminently. It's still there.
So are you going to start a commune? Are you going to grow pot? What are you going to do?
Going to enjoy my view. I'm the woman at the top of my hill has a zoo.
You have the woman at the top of my hill has a zoo.
Really? I'm sorry. She says it's Eris, and Carl was a big animal person. And then she goes, she got pigs, she got horses, and she's got chickens and turkeys. And it's really pretty wild.
I know this guy.
Sounds like a
fun. Really,
for a guy who was born and raised in New York City and never even thought about living anywhere else, it's
well, we'll export the Dr. Browns up there to where you are if you can't find it there. Although there are probably a few Jews skulking about who live on the stuff.
Let me tell you, it's all musicians up there and people from New York. I walk into the local ramen place, and there's Chris Stein.
The local ramen,
things have changed.
Blondie's eating at the local ramen place.
Really?
Brave new world and such people in it. So you're going to play a song for us, though? You got something new happening?
Sure, yeah.
It's about time.
It's a variety show, you know.
We're going to have those guys spinning plates.
You know, it's sort of like Meet the Press meets Carol Burnett over here.
Yeah, this is a brand new song. I figure I might as well debut it on...
On the Arts and Seizure show. We're just making history. Last week we had Bob Burt jamming with Ivan Julian. This week we got Andy Chernoff.
Oh, yeah.
Pete and Jim Diamond. Yeah.
Did he do a song?
Oh, we did.
Did two songs. He got to do two songs, Andy.
Well, I mean, we have a star-studded.
We're going to come back. Okay. Twirl this one. Tell us what we're going to hear. But we're going to come back with some more Pizza Rumba.
I'll just do this song. How about that?
Okay.
Well, it's a good night.
say goodbye. And it feels so right to make you cry. Everybody knows the score. I just can't take it no more. It's a good night to say goodbye. Well, you go your way, and I'll go mine. This is the last time we gaze into each other's eyes. It was never meant to be. A whiny bitch and a drunk like me. It's a good night to say goodbye. Oh, oh, love is hell, Satan's spell, can't you tell? We hate each other more every day. Make it end, I can't pretend that we're friends. Everybody knows that you're gay. Ooh. I dance on your grave. On mine. To watch you suffer would be divine. No one said that love was free. It took a toll on you and me. Yes, it's a good night to say goodbye.
Fun little love song.
Great. I'm very moved.
All right. Oh, man.
It is.
I'm over the guitar.
I know. You got some tissues?
From Renaissance man Andy Chernoff.
Great.
Well, all right, and I do want to remind everybody out there in Radio Land that Heritage Radio is member-supported, so if you're digging what you hear, please don't hesitate. Click that button, become a member, and we will send you a really actually good tote bag, much better than anything you'll ever find at NPR or PBS, heritageradionetwork.org. It's Arts and Seizures. Please donate, be a part of it. This is Arts and Seizures once again with Pete Zaremba and Mike Edison and our guests, Rosie Schapp, Andy Chernoff, and Jim Diamond joining us.
A walk-in guest.
It's
I just was here for the pizza. I said, "What the hell?"
The pizza's coming, Jim. So you're gonna stick around for pizza because it does not disappoint. There's a lot of.
I've been eyeballing it all the way back here.
All right, we're gonna hook you up right away. So Rosie, what else is going on? You're working on a new book.
I am. I've been working for a while on a book about whiskey.
I love the topic.
And yeah, I thought you might like that. And I'm hoping to finish that up pretty soon. But, it's a big subject. It requires a lot of active research. So it has taken some time. But I'm excited about it. And I'm still tending bar. One shift a week at South in Park Slope.
Keeping your street cred.
Yeah, absolutely. Staying real.
I love whiskey, but more specifically, I love bourbon.
Well, tell me about your love for bourbon.
Oh.
I always love to hear people
talk about the ways.
What they love most about the whiskey they love.
I like a lot of different kinds of bourbon. I can drink bourbon from the speed rack if it's the right stuff.
Yeah.
Evan Williams is perfectly acceptable.
Our speed rack is Evan, and it's delicious.
It's really good. I think Ten High's got like a certain quality they kind of like to it too. It's got a little rough edge to it, but I'll be honest with you. It's crazy now that you go in and spending $14 for a tumbler full of brown liquid is normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that reminds me, that bottle of Pappy I meant to bring you, I just left it on the subway. So sorry about that, Mike.
But it's like, what am I paying for is the question here. Like, Evan's good. I still enjoy Jim Beam, which was my favorite for years and years and years. But it was just much lighter. Jim Beam, but some of these bourbons, if it says bourbon on it and it's been aged for 2 years and it's from Kentucky
and there's at least 50% corn,
unlike your Chopin vodka, for example, which there really aren't any rules saying what can or can't go in there. Mm-hmm. With bourbon, at least
yes there are, actually.
Yes, love is the secret ingredient.
And actually, I guess it's more Tennessee whiskey, right? But I could never trust any liquor produced in a place where it's forbidden to drink it.
Well, that would rule out a number of whiskeys.
That would rule out a bunch of them. Yeah,
that's Jack Daniels, of course. Right. Famous. I don't like Jack Daniels, for instance.
Well, neither do I. But
you know, I recognize its excellence as a whiskey. Jack.
How
Daniels,
do they know
and,
it's
any important?
Good?
But I the most drunk I ever was in my life was on Jack Daniels.
Keith Richards is the same thing.
Yeah, well, we have a lot in common. So
I thought Keith Richards was a Rebel Yell guy.
I don't think you always find that. Like, it makes sense shipped in, but I saw those old pictures of him with a bottle of Jack on top of the amplifier, and you know, a couple bottles of Coca-Cola. Hey, Jack and Coke, you know, that's,
sure, it's like, a classic highball, just like the new highball we tried here today.
It's rocket
it's
fuel.
Ball.
It's what it is. Jack and Coke is rocket fuel. We for years, you know, when I was playing the Ron Chans, we swore by Jack and Coke because a couple of those before the gig, that'll blow your skirt up.
When I was a kid in a band. We had a rocket. We made rocket fuel. We were about 21. We got pharmaceutical grade caffeine, and we would take.
First time I've heard that. I love.
We would take Old Crow, mix it with a shot of Old Crow, and like a shot of Coke, and then a teaspoon of pharmaceutical caffeine, and mix it all up and go. I mean, we were 21 years old.
Sounds delicious.
It was delicious.
And then, where do you get pharmaceutical grade caffeine?
He's from Detroit. He's from Detroit, so it's
there was this liquor store, and they had bottles of.
No,
it
somebody's probably cooking up in their garage.
Pharmaceutical grade
caffeine. The original meth.
Well, obviously the pharmaceutical grade cocaine wasn't available. You know?
No, we were kids. We didn't have any money. We didn't know about cocaine.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Not having money, so I go to a bar like $14 for a cocktail. Holy shit! But you know, a lot of times I will say, you know, or I did, you know, before I was like making, you know, the fabulous, you know, Richard. That I'm making here at Heritage Radio, you know, what is your speed rack bourbon? Because if it's Evan,
yeah, it's
I can
great.
Drink it. Listen, 10 high is marginal, but on a you know, a day, you know, it's the ingress proportion between the money in my pocket and how mm-hmm. drunk I want to get versus the toxins I want to put in my body. Mm-hmm. There's a very complicated math that goes
Absolutely,
along with this.
There.
But I tell you, it's a Woodford Reserve has become my new favorite.
That's your new favorite.
That's my new favorite.
Yeah. Wait,
you made a good point about the expensive bourbon, some of them very expensive. Now, what you're paying for is the oak and the time aging.
And the marketing.
Let's and the not, marketing. You know.
Sure, of course.
But it's like wine.
And in some cases, just the scarcity, like anything else. People will right.
or
pay
the
more,
or the perceived scarcity.
Correct.
Which is very important in the wine world.
Of course.
Is to produce less than the market demands mm-hmm. is key to the price index. Mm-hmm.
True. And expensive wines are not... A $100 bottle of wine is not necessarily better than a $30 or $40 bottle of wine. I can tell you mm-hmm. from experience.
Absolutely
Is
not.
It better than a $5 bottle of wine?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
You know, I worked with Joe Bastianich in his book, Restaurant Man, and one thing that Joe really, really instilled in me, and we wrote about it, was that no bottle of wine in the world really costs more than $5 to produce. I mean, that's the price of the grapes and water. After that, let's talk about provenance, let's talk about heritage. Maybe the real estate is expensive, but it's about marketing and perceived scarcity.
Well, you've also got older vines produce less grapes.
That's right.
And the barrels cost more money.
At the end of the day, it's grape juice, though.
Right. Yes,
of course. No, you know, I mean, and listen, it goes well with anything. Look, I mean, Jim, you bring a rock and roll band into the studio, I mean, the day rate's going to be the same, but the product is not going to be.
No. Mm-hmm. The product can be horrible. Or it can be great, you know.
You know, given all the same all basic
about,
ingredients.
Yeah, right. You need good songs, good players. You need good grapes. And good winemakers.
I don't know. Good songs and good players never really stopped anybody from making a good record. And I could, a lot of bands that I'm sure you've worked with, and
yeah,
I can posit.
I've made some horrible records with great players.
And you made some great records right. with
horrible players.
Exactly.
Right.
Some
right.
of my favorites, in fact.
Well, with the Sonics, when they made the Sonics record, they probably go, oh my God, it's a disaster. And that was probably changed.
But, you know, but like that whole, like, old, like, you know, things that were considered mistakes are now considered, you know, blessings, like overmodulated, you know, vocals, you know, things that are distorted in a microphone. People spent a lot of money trying to get that sound, which was basically considered a mistake a long time ago.
Right.
I was listening to these Aretha Franklin tracks that were, you know, they were outtakes, and it's probably they never made it to record because when she gets to the top, I mean, she's just pushing it too hard. I'm guessing it was some kind of ribbon microphone or something. But, I mean, people spend a lot of money to get that sound now.
Oh, yeah, listen to Little Richard Records. I mean, he's blowing the shit out of those mics and... Sounds great to me.
So so let's make an analog to cocktails here. A Boilermaker, a shot and a beer versus the $18 house version of a Rye Manhattan.
I think so much depends on context. You know, one thing that always, I don't want to say it annoys me because I'm not really that grouchy, but when people don't read a bar right, You know, you walk into a certain kind of bar, and you know that a Boilermaker is exactly what you want to have there. You take a look, and you say, they're not going to have infusions. They're not going to have 40 different kinds of craft whiskeys. So have your shot of Evan, have your can of High Life or bottle of High Life, and that's great. You know, but of course, there are certain times there's nothing I want more than a great classic cocktail. And old fashioned is one of my favorite things.
Done well, it's elevating.
Absolutely.
And not just for breakfast anymore, Pete.
As Jim Backus said in It's a Mad, Mad World, he makes an old-fashioned the old-fashioned way.
And there's argument about what the old-fashioned way is to make an old-fashioned now, if you muddle fruit or if there's no fruit. As long as there's some whiskey and something sweet and some bitters, I'm pretty happy.
So what do you do at your bar? Do you mix all cocktails?
This is a funny thing.
I know you pull a lot of beer over there.
Yeah. I mean, the bar where I work is really a mom-and-pop neighborhood bar. But people sometimes read something I've written about and come in and ask for something that we just don't have the inventory to make at my bar. So I tell them to have a beer. We'll have a chat, and then I send them to a cocktail bar down the street after.
Cocktail bars, and you know, we've laughed about it on the show often. You know, artisanal is not a dirty word. You know, I mean, really, I mean, people say, "Oh yeah, fucking Brooklyn artisanal," and so you got like, you know, you're fixing your bike and some asshole and a beard and, you know, with like shirt garters is going to serve it to me. I get it. You know, a lot of this like faux bohemian hipsterism is right off the rack, but I'll tell you what, you know, and I'll give a plug to my buddy Garrett over at Prime Meats,
sure.
Who's a fantastic bartender. He's a young guy. He knows the history of these drinks, and he takes such pride.
I
got Brandy Alexander at this guy's bar.
I love a Brandy Alexander. What a great drink.
You know, it's a great drink, and I've had many of them, and some of them are frothy and white. His is like brandy and the Alexander, the cream is at the top.
So
you drink the liquor through the cream.
And I hope there's a little freshly ground nutmeg on top.
Of course. The same file that a lawyer used to escape in prison. but that's good. I've had them other cocktail bars with the same, like a milkshake, you know?
Yeah.
Which is fine, but this it's exquisite. And,
I'm going to have one.
You know, and I like the fact that the guy knows the provenance of it, he knows the history of it. And yeah, it's artisanal, it's fancy, it's not inexpensive. But as we say, isn't better better?
Better is better. And I mean, here's my thing. Like, I love the nerdy mode of bartender. If they really love what they do and they know what they're doing and they want to talk about it and they're fun, great. If they're being snobs about it, then it's boring.
There are a lot of douchebags out there. Do you think they know they're douchebags?
I don't know.
Know they're douchebags?
You know, I try not to get into their minds and souls, so I don't know.
Still in the wine world, Andy?
Not really.
Do you still drink any of it?
I do drink.
Okay.
Yes.
I still have a wine world. I
have a big wine fridge.
Everybody else here is like down there. What are we calling this drink? The Dr. Brown Hexbreaker.
I'm going to Hexbreaker so far is the best.
I like Hexbreaker. Yeah.
I like Hexbreaker. As you said when you were recording Power Stance with us, and Keith said, "What should we call this?" And you said, "Hexbreaker 2."
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Hey, it worked for Led Zeppelin.
That's very
I'm
funny.
So funny.
It worked for Led Zeppelin.
I just want to, you know, as a fan of your band, Mr. Zaremba, you don't do songs from Hexbreaker. You don't do songs from a lot of your old records, and I wish you did more of your old songs.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll take that. We'll take that. Yeah. If you know, my band is on sabbatical for God knows how, you know, they're scattered to the four corners of the globe.
They're Scandinavian now.
They're all in Scandinavia in one way or another. And so that's why I'm here. But when I see them again,
that's why.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Wondering.
And also for the free pizza. But you know, I'll take it up with them. You know, coming from you.
Yeah.
No, I want you to design.
That's a suggestion.
I want a cocktail called American Beat. I want a cocktail called Power Stance. And if this is the Hexbreaker, that's great. But if not, I want a Hexbreaker or Hexbreaker 2, Hexbreaker 4.
Okay.
That's when you really get heavy. Hexbreaker 4 is like your heaviest cocktail to date.
You have a great catalog that can make a lot of cocktails.
Make a lot of cocktails. I know. The next cocktail we make, I think, is going to... I think the one ingredient I'm going to use is frothy, because it'll give it the perfect head every time.
Oh, frothy with two E's.
Frothy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
what is actually in that stuff?
I don't want to know.
I know exactly what's in it.
Oh, boy.
It's antifreeze, right?
Yeah, it's a sodium isopropyl glycol.
Okay. And on that note, thanks everybody for tuning in. It is always the fastest half hour on the internet today. Thanks to Pizza Rembo and Rosie Shapp and Jim Diamond, holy cow. Andy Shernoff, of course, Liz in the booth, but we're going to go out with a little music, right? It's cold outside. Maybe it's cold outside. What are we going to do, Pete?
I thought we were going to do
jam?
Some...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're making history here.
Let's not quite say it's a jam. I'm very gun shy of that word, having grown up in the early 70s.
I'm with you.
Why don't we do something by the great Sonny Boy Williamson the second, Rice Miller, Alec Miller from Helena, Arkansas.
Look, Judy never let me play guitar on the show.
You see that? I'm letting you. I let you play guitar.
Here's my pick.
So, here. Where is it? Temperature 110, right? And Jim, you know this one too.
Which one?
No. Temperature 110 by Sonny Boy Williamson.
Right?
Rosie knows it, and she's going to sing along too.
Careful what you wish for.
Your bar's down in what? Park Slope?
In the south end of Park Slope.
Tell us once again.
The unfashionable end of Park Slope. It's called South.
Is that like the Upper West Side? Do we need visas to get there?
You might.
Do you serve champagne and vodka? And celery? You better get some celery.
No, I gotta get some celery now. I'm inspired.
The Hex Breaker, too.
Yeah.
All right. Arts and Seizures. Here we go.
Nine below zero on the outside. She brought my temperature to 110. Nine below zero out on the outside. She brought my temperature to 110. Ever since then, she don't put me down for another man. Mike Edison on the guitar, Andy Shernoff's playing too. We got Jim Diamond here and Rosie Shapp too. She's gonna tell you what to drink and tell you what to do. Here we go. Arts and Seizures, everyone. Thanks for listening.
All right. Woo!
Andy Shernoff from Whitestone, Queens.
Renaissance man. All right, can you dig it? See you next week on Arts and Seizures.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.